Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, bonus episode 194, The Checklist. Guest evangelist Alejandro Arias delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the evening of May 16th, 2021.
Go! I feel so inspired when I watch that video, and I really wanted to play it tonight because I know we have some intercessors, we have some leaders, and we have some pastors and some key leaders in this room. And I believe God wants you to go. He wants you to reach the world. He wants you to reach people. And so I want you to, you know, write it down in your calendar. Last day of May, May 31st, we need to commit ourselves to join this global commission of millions of believers that are going to share the gospel on the last day of May. So do everything you can to share the gospel before the last day of May, before, you know, May 31st, and do everything you can to win the lost, you know, even on May 31st, do everything you can. Be intentional to be part of this amazing, you know, army of believers all over the world. They're going to be sharing the gospel on May 31st. Isn't that exciting? I mean, I just feel the sense of excitement, you know. What a crucial hour. We're living in the end times, and God is awakening the sleeping church to fulfill the Great Commission. We have the opportunity, it is within our grasp, to reach the whole world. I mean, this morning I share this at Pastor Rogers' church. Our messages are being translated into Urdu. And I just got a number this morning. I was really excited. I woke up to the news that our message reached over 378,000 people this past Sunday. Well, you know, we're still on Sunday, but for them, it's already Monday, you know, because of the time difference. But when I was asleep, my message in Urdu was reaching thousands of people. The message of Jesus was reaching thousands of people on television. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. And so it was translated. And, you know, I just got this clip. Very short. I don't speak Urdu, but this is what they sent me. And I just thought, this is so exciting. And I wanted to share with you because I believe God is doing something. We're living in the end times, don't we? Listen to this. Can you hear that? So that's me preaching in Urdu. I'm fluent now. You know, it's like God gave me a new language. Now I can preach in Urdu. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? I don't speak a word of Urdu, but anyway, God gave me the language, so now I can speak it anyway. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We get to be part of the Great Commission. We get to be part of what Jesus wants the church to be part of. We get to dream with him. We get to love what he loves. We get to share the gospel. We get to be part of this exciting hour. Because this is going to be a critical hour, but also an exciting hour, where the Lord is awakening the church all over the United States and all over the world to fulfill the Great Commission. So, let's do it. Come on, tell your neighbor, let's do it. Come on, let's do it. Let's stop playing church, because 98% of the church has never shared the gospel. I mean, that's crazy when you think about it. That's crazy when you hear those numbers. You know, Alan Green was challenging us, and he was the one who mentioned that. He said over 98% of the church, they're not sharing the gospel. So how can we reach the world? How can we reach the world if believers, on average, are not sharing the gospel? If we're not sharing the gospel, how can we reach the world? You know, let's populate heaven, and let's empty hell. And we have that great commission. We have that great responsibility. We have that great privilege of being part of the Great Commission. It's all of us. All of us. And the amazing thing is God's going to use all of us in this end times revival. Amen? So I want to encourage you. I'm going to preach a message that I believe is going to encourage you. And I want to ask you, how many of you have this book already? Revelation Ready. How many of you have it? There's only two or three hands. Well, if you don't have it, I have plenty of copies. Because I'm going to preach of the checklist. So you need to read the whole book. So I'm going to preach off the checklist, and I'm going to ask you these questions, and you can write them down, but I'm going to preach off the checklist. And Rebecca was going to preach this message, but I'm going to preach it to you now. Because Rebecca couldn't come. She had not COVID, praise God. She went, she got tested, she was negative, but she had another flu-type virus, and today she called me, and she says she's 100% better. All the symptoms are gone. Praise God. Right? Because we tend to forget that, you know, you still have to deal with all the things, right? And the world just completely forgot about the flu. And now they're warning us. They're using a megaphone. CNBC, CNN. Get ready for the flu season. It's laughable. It is. It is. Because the last few months they've been talking about COVID, 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 COVID. It is ridiculous. And you know, I was talking the last, almost 2 years. Yeah, almost a year and a few months. They've been talking about COVID. I was talking to a scientist and he said, you know that coronavirus has been around for a long time. That it is just a mutated virus. A potent virus, you know, more powerful strain. And that's what it is. And people are terrified. You shouldn't be terrified because God has given you power and authority over all things, over sicknesses and viruses and diseases. Come on, you believe that?
Yes.
So the first question I'm going to ask is, are you standing on the Word?
Amen.
Are you standing on the Word? And I'm going to open my Bible in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 14. No, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. So we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you for this word. I pray that this word will become a rhema. Your word is rhema to us. Your word is guidance to us. Your word is life. Your word brings life. And I just pray that this word will inspire every leader, every end times leader that is in this room. Everyone in this room will be inspired and will be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Amen? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. Say, in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth with boldness to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Now I want you to read verse 20. For which I am an ambassador. Say it. I am an ambassador. I'm sure you don't, you're not in chains. But Paul was in prison when he wrote that piece, and he said, I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it with boldness as I ought to speak. You know, God wants the church to fulfill the Great Commission with boldness. So are you standing on the Word? Are you fulfilling the Word? Are you obeying the Word? Are you embracing the Word? Are you, you know, we got to really embrace the Word in this critical time. If we don't, We're going to follow the lies of the enemy. We're going to listen to other voices. And we need to listen to the prophetic sound of heaven. We need to listen to the prophetic sound of the Word. The Word will bring correction. The Word will bring light. The Word is enlightening. The Word will bring the truth. The Word will open our eyes. The Word will bring healing. The Word will bring restoration. The word will deliver us. The Word will refresh us. The Lord will empower us through His Word. Amen? So I really encourage everyone, are you standing on the Word? Do you know that we are about to enter into a season where it's not going to get any better? It's going to get worse. We're about to enter into a season of inflation. We're about to enter into a season of changes, radical changes that are coming to this world and to our nation. They're coming. But I have good news for you. So long as you are standing on the Word, even if there is inflation, even if there is an economic crisis, even if we have another GFC, global financial collapse, or global financial recession, whatever you want to call it, even if we experience that, God is going to provide for His children. He always does. He's got that beautiful attribute. He's a provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. And He's Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. And so when we understand the Word of God and His personality and all His attributes and His glory and His fullness, we don't live in fear because we are standing on His Word. And even if we go through trials and tribulations, and like the Word of God says, even though I go through the valley of death, I fear no evil. Even though I go through the valley of sickness or persecution, I fear no evil. And do you think persecution is too far away? It's not a far distant reality. It's already here. Across the border, they are actually arresting pastors and preachers, and they're taking them before the judge because, you know, in Canada, a lot of pastors, even some of my friends that are moving to Florida because of the persecution that's happening in Canada, a lot of pastors are having to go to court and explain why they're keeping their churches open during this COVID crisis. You know, all over the world, they're giving churches freedom to meet. They have some caps. They have some limits. Like, I had to preach to a limited audience, and everybody had to wear a mask. This was a few weeks ago when I was in Costa Rica, and they had yellow tape around the pulpit, and I wasn't allowed to pray for people. I wasn't allowed to lay hands on people, and the service was limited to 60 minutes, to 90 minutes, actually, because the virus cannot live beyond 90 minutes. Or something like that. Something ridiculous. It's like, the reasoning behind this is so ridiculous, right? It's like, okay, so we got rules. Now, the virus can choose where to go. The virus can choose what age group and how long. And all of these, you know, things that they believe, that's how the virus spreads. And so, anyway, so the churches are not allowed to have more than 2 hours. Only 90 minutes. 90 minutes, right? So thank God for the Holy Spirit, because I was able to pray for the sick, and I asked the people to lay hands, like, you know, you can use your God-given authority, place your hand wherever you're sick, wherever you need healing, and God's going to heal you, He's going to touch you, and we saw some incredible healings, some incredible miracles, and I couldn't lay hands on anyone, so the job was easier for me, right? Because I had to pray. That's all I had to do. So it was like easier in a way, because I didn't have to do anything. I just had to stand there, pray, and believe in God, believe by faith. And we saw some incredible healings and miracles. People raised their hand, and so I was able to give the mic, a sanitized mic, you know. It went around, and every time it passed from one hand to another hand, it was sanitized. You know, we had to... This is amazing. You know, some of the COVID restrictions around the world, like, we had to step on a rug that was sanitized, right? Because you carry, this is how they believe, you can carry viruses, you can carry COVID-19 in your shoes. So you need to sanitize your shoes so that you can kill the virus somewhere, somehow. I don't know how that works, but anyway. So we had to do that, and then you had to sanitize your hands. You have to wash your hands and then go into the building and sanitize your hands. I felt so clean after that meeting. I felt like I went through 3 layers of cleaning. I felt so good after the meeting. I'm like, if you are a germaphobic, you know, you will feel great. You will feel at home, you know, because all the boxes are being ticked. Anyway, God moved. And so in a lot of places right now, they're not allowed to meet. They're not allowed to have church. They're not allowed to do what we are doing here. We have freedom. We have freedom to worship. So the question is, are you standing on the word? Because times are about to be more challenging. Times are about to be more difficult. And I don't mean to bring negative news, because I believe we are going to fulfill the Great Commission in the midst of great turmoil, in the midst of great, you know, challenges. God's going to use us. God's going to use your voice. He's going to use your talent. He's going to use your anointing. You know that each one of you have an anointing to do amazing things for the kingdom of God? How many of you believe that? You are anointed for this hour. So I want you to tell your neighbor, you are anointed for this hour. You are anointed for this hour. So are you ready to stand on the word? Are you ready to believe the promises? Even if you face persecution, even if they mock you, even if they shut the door on you because you don't have the supposed facts. Hello? And look, I respect whether you want to have it or not. You know, it's your decision. You need to speak. You need to talk to God. You need to. But it's coming down to a point of persecution where people are going to be persecuted if they don't conform to what's going on in the world. And there is going to be so much confusion. Get ready. It's already happening. The media is so confused right now. They're even spewing confusion. They're even talking about it. They're like, we're so confused because the CDC is saying that everybody can take off their mask so long as they are vaccinated. So how do we know who is vaccinated and who isn't? So now they're asking the big question, right? Who is vaccinated? We want to know who has got an ID. Hello? Who has got a passport? Who can show us something? And if you think, oh, that's a conspiracy, let me tell you something. I was in Australia at the beginning of this pandemic, and they were asking every customer, all of the, like, if you were to go to a restaurant, they asked you to download an app. And that app gives you a QR code. And that QR code can be scanned. And that QR code contains your information. You can fill it out and then you can scan it and then they give you a green light. They were actually trying that for a while, you know. So if you had a green light, you were good to go. You were good to sit down and have a nice meal. But if you had a red light, you couldn't go into the restaurant. I have no idea how that works. And you know, you can actually, there is a feature in your iPhone that can, you need to turn it off, by the way. It notifies you about COVID and the exposure and all of that stuff. You know, it's like, okay, well, this is not about sickness. This is not about health. This is more about technology now. It's becoming apparent that there's an agenda, that there is an agenda. They're trying to link technology with health and all of these issues. And I believe this is about control. So we're living in a time where the enemy is accelerating his agenda. He wants to control the world. He wants to bring wickedness and evil. And so the question I'm going to ask you tonight is, are you standing on the word of God? Are you embracing every promise? Are you holding onto his word? Because it's about to get difficult. It's about to get more challenging for those that don't have that trust and that belief system, and those that are not rooted in the word of God. You know, a lot of people are not attending church. More than 50% of church attendance across America has dropped dramatically. A lot of people are just not going to their building because they feel uncomfortable. They feel unsafe. They feel like, you know, if they go to the church, they will contract, you know, they will, for some reason, they'll get infected and they will get COVID. But we know who is greater. We know that the blood of Jesus is more than powerful. We know that the blood of Jesus is more than enough. You believe that? So are you standing on the word? Are you trusting God to use you as an instrument so you can heal people? Are you trusting God So when you share the gospel, it's not your words, but is the Holy Spirit speaking through you? Are you standing on the words that when you face the enemy, you know the enemy is going to come up to you and he's going to confront you, but if you have the word of God, the Bible knows the Bible. I mean, the enemy knows the Bible. The Bible knows the Bible. I'm really tired now. I've done 5 sessions this weekend, so, you know, be patient. 5 sessions, the Bible knows the Bible, obviously, yeah. Yeah, thank you. Lord, give me strength. Anyway, amen. Praise God. Anyway, so the devil knows the Bible from cover to cover. And if we are trying to do warfare, we need to have the Word of God in us, imprinted in us, because we are carriers of the Word. If we carry the Word, we'll be able to release the Word. We'll be able to speak the Word, and we'll be able to pray with understanding and knowledge of the Word. You see, when you pray the Word of God, you will see miracles. I'm going to say that one more time. When you pray the Word of God, you will see miracles. And I want you to write that down. When you pray the Word of God, you will see miracles. So what is praying the Word of God? Praying the Word of God is praying the Word, the Rhema. Not just the Logos, but praying the Rhema. Praying the spoken Word and the revealed Word. And when you release the Word of God, the sound of His Word will materialize miracles before your eyes. Because your body is listening to the Word of God. There's something that my daughter loves to do. She's only 7. But every time she has a nightmare, she keeps asking us to put on the Bible app, the Bible app on YouTube, the Bible audio, you know. So she wants to hear the Word of God when she's asleep. She keeps asking us to play the Bible. Every time she's got a nightmare, she wants to hear the Bible. Even before she goes to bed, she wants to hear the Bible. And I think it's so powerful. I think it's so amazing that she wants to hear the Bible. Every time she's got a nightmare, we taught her. Actually, this is something that we taught her. I said, honey, every time you have a nightmare, whenever you wake up, because she used to come to our room running, you know, afraid. Oh, I just had a nightmare. And, you know, kids have nightmares. And the enemy is going to try to bother them and torment them and using, you know, nightmares to steal their joy, right? To bother them in a way so that they become so terrified of the dark, right? The enemy is going to use that. How many of you had nightmares when you were children, right? Many of you, including I had nightmares, and I remember, you know, I had to learn to use my God-given authority. And so I taught my daughter, you know, she's only 7, she's about to turn 8, and I said, Kiriel, when you have a nightmare, what you have to say is the blood of Jesus has power. Just say that. The blood of Jesus has power. The blood of Jesus is powerful. And the blood of Jesus is on me. The blood of Jesus covers me. Just say that. Just mention the word, the blood. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. And it will scare those demons. And those demons will flee. And they will run from you. And they will leave you alone. And so she did it. And she said, the next day she's really excited, right? She comes to me and she says, Daddy, it works. It works. It works. And so she shared the experience with her friend, because her friend came up to her one day and said, you know, I'm having nightmares. And so she shared the experience. She's a good evangelist, you know. She likes to share the gospel at school. And so she told her friend, whenever you have a nightmare, just say the blood of Jesus is power. And the friend actually, you know, paid attention, did it, and obeyed Kiriel in a way, obeyed the word of God, you know. And she did it, and guess what? It worked for her, too. So Kiriel was even more inspired and more excited, and she loves the Word of God. She loves to listen to the Word of God before she goes to bed. The Word of God does something in your spirit, in your body. It realigns your spirit. It realigns. It's like calibration. It recalibrates everything in your body. When you're listening to the Word of God is calibrating your spirit, your body, your soul. Something is happening. Amen. I hear something in the background. Thank you, Jesus, or something like that. Anyway, the Word of God. Say with me, the Word.
The Word.
The Word with revelation is the powerful recipe for revival. The word with revelation, the rhema and the logos together is a powerful recipe for a move of God in your life, in your personal life. If you want to see miracles, you need to pray the word of God. You know, there was one time where my wife was on the brink of dying. She had a DNC, went terribly wrong. She was bleeding to death, and it was a horrible experience as a family. You know what that is. As a nurse, you know, the doctors, one doctor came into the ICU. I was in this waiting room, you know, waiting for the doctors to give me some news. And one doctor came up to me and said, I don't know what's going to happen, but we've tried 7 different methods. We're trying to stop the bleeding, but we can't. And we're running out of options here. And I said, you know, I said, Doc, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to believe God. And I was there by myself. It was midnight. And the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, I want you to listen to healing scriptures. Go to YouTube and go to Benny Hinn's page and watch some of the healing scriptures, some of those audios. And I want you to play it and just let your spirit be inspired and begin to pray the word of God. I just felt that. I felt like the Lord gave me that instruction. So I went to Benny Hinn's YouTube channel and I began to play his healing scriptures, you know, the healing scriptures that he's got recorded. And I felt the presence of God just flooded the room. I was in the ICU waiting room just by myself, midnight, having a wonderful time with God and pacing that room and just, you know, just quoting scripture and believing God and quoting healing scripture and just quoting one scripture after another and just receiving revelation. And the presence of God came into the room and it was so intense that guess what? Half an hour later, another doctor came and he said, I have good news for you. We did something and it worked, and I think your wife is going to come out of this room and she's going to be fine. So God did a miracle. Come on, somebody. God did a miracle. The doctor, the next day, he said, and he was talking to Rebecca, and he basically said, you know, you could have died last night. We were trying everything to help you. We were trying everything to, you know, to save your life. And, it was that when you realize that your life is only 1 minute away, you know, like your wife is on the brink of dying, it's just unbelievable. That realization that your life, you know, you got to trust God. Hello? You're 1 minute away from eternity. In fact, you are a few seconds away from eternity. You're one step away from eternity. But guess what? You're not going anywhere until you finish the Great Commission. You believe that? You're not going anywhere until you finish your assignment. That's what I meant to say. Until you finish your God-given assignment. Until you finish what God has called you for. So don't be afraid of any virus, any disease. Walk, prophesy, and speak the word of God. Release the word of God. Prophesy the word of God. The second question I'm going to ask you. Are you fulfilling the Great Commission? How active are you? How much are you witnessing? What are you doing to reach your community, your neighborhood, and your friends? Are you fulfilling the Great Commission? And the Great Commission is not about reaching the lost alone. The Great Commission is about making disciples. So you need to build relationships with unbelievers in order to make disciples. Because disciples are not made overnight. You don't put them in an oven and you don't just get them ready and bake them and get them out. Disciples, they take time. They take investment. They take resource. You got to invest. You got to believe in them. And you got to spend time and you got to walk the journey with them. I remember I prayed for a young man in Poland, North Poland. This is an exciting story. I love when God does, you know, the supernatural, when he heals people and when he touches people and when he turns people around, right? Don't you love that? This young man was a soccer player. He was playing for a minor league in Poland. He was becoming very famous and he was earning a lot of money. And he was a PK. Do you know what that means? Pastor's kid? right? A preacher's kid. He was a PK. And he had turned away from God. He was rebellious. He was bitter. He was, you know, he was walking. He was doing a lot of things, a lot of worldly things. He was sleeping around. He was going to nightclubs. He was doing awful things. Anyway, his father invited him to the meeting. And his father insisted. And he finally said, okay, Dad, I'll go. I'll go. He had had an injury, really bad injury. He was actually in crutches. And the doctors basically told him that his dreams of playing for major leagues were shattered and he would never be able to play again because his soccer career was over. Basically, that's what the doctors told him. Your soccer career is over. You'll never be able to play again. You injured your knee twice. He actually injured it twice. The first time, God was kind of dealing with him, but he turned away. He started doing the same things. He fell back in the same habits. And so he had another injury. He re-injured the same knee. It was almost like God was trying to get his attention, right? And so he had another accident, and this time God really got a hold of his attention. And he was in another town, a couple of hours away from this village. I was in a town in somewhere in North Poland. Anyway, he came to the meeting. He got there late. He sat there. He was, you know, he just had this indifferent look, like he didn't want to be there. You know, he was indifferent. He was kind of, you know, he was walking in apathy, like he didn't have any reason, any passion in his heart. He didn't have any faith, nothing. He was dried. He was spiritually dead. You know, when you meet someone and you can see in the spirit that they need life, they desperately need life. How many of you have met someone like that? You meet them, you see their face, you see them, you look at them, you feel in your spirit, this person, they need life back into them. You know what I'm saying? So it was at the end of the meeting. That's why I tell folks, don't ever leave a meeting without God, you know, releasing you. Don't ever leave a meeting just because you need to go or because you have something more important to do. You can miss out on the best miracles. You can miss out on your great breakthrough that you've been waiting for. You've been waiting for this breakthrough for 20 years. And if you don't wait until the end of the meeting, you can miss out on that breakthrough. You can miss out on your miracle, on your healing, on your, you know, on your blessing because you get desperate or you get impatient and then you want to go and you want to rush, you know, and you want to get out of the place and go somewhere. There's nothing more important to do when you're in the presence of God. Nothing is, you know, has more prominence. Nothing is more important in your life, and it shouldn't be more important in your life than standing in the presence of God and waiting for God to finish whatever he's doing in your life. Come on, somebody. So, you know, I met this young man, and he was sitting there, you know, had his crutches, and he came up, and I can see that he was broken. He needed a miracle. And I prayed for him. He came up. His dad insisted, like, come, Jacob, come. Come over here. You know, in Polish, Jaku, come, Jaku. So he finally came up to the front. He was, you know, he was hesitant. He was upset that his dad insisted. And he didn't want to be there. He just had this face like, I wish I'm not here. Like, I don't want to be here. Like, why am I here? What's wrong with my dad? Anyway, when he got to the front, the Holy Spirit knocked them down just like that. The power of God came upon him. I didn't even lay hands on him. He was on his crutches, right? And the power of God came on him. He began to shake and he lost control and his knees gave in and he just plummeted in the presence of God. Just like that. He was knocked out. Don't you love when Jesus knocks you out? Come on. Don't you love that? When he doesn't even give you time to think a reason or ask him a question, but he just knocks you out. Come on. It's like the experience, you know, when Paul was on his way, you know, when he hadn't encountered God and he was persecuting the believers and he was knocked off his horse. You know, because of the presence of God, the glory, the glory can be so heavy and so intense at times, and it can knock you out. And so he was laying on the floor. He was crying. He began to tremble. He began to scream, and he felt this conviction. And he was almost like screaming like, God, forgive me. But he was speaking Polish. I couldn't really understand everything. You know, his dad was later on told me what was going on. But he was really repenting. He was convicted. He was, you know, when somebody is convicted, you can see that conviction. You can feel it. You know, and he was so touched by God. When he came back up, guess what? He was able to stand up without any help. He didn't need his crutches. He was healed. He was healed. And in that moment, he let go of his crutches and he began to jump. And he's like, you know, this guy, he loves sports. And he's like, can I go around the block? Can I run? And I'm like, sure, go. So this guy took off. You know, in Poland, in Europe, they have this, you know, the town squares. Everywhere you go, you know, whenever you go to the downtown, they have a town square. And it's a nice park, and they have a bunch of shops around the town square. And there is a park. And so he went around the park. He ran around. He came back. He's like, I'm healed. I'm healed, you know. He's screaming. He's shouting in Polish. I'm healed, you know. He was totally healed. The Lord touched him. The Lord set him on fire. He came back to Jesus. He recommitted his life. Then I felt like I was supposed to mentor him. And I was supposed to disciple him. And I'm like, I'm on the other side of the world at this point. I'm living in Australia. He is in Poland. I'm like, God, how am I going to disciple him? But God said, I want you to invite him to Ecuador and take him with you and expose him to a healing meeting. Expose him to, you know, something. Let him experience the power of God. So I invited him. I didn't know anything. I didn't know, you know, what was going on in his life, in his personal life. I knew that he was a mess. Like his dad told me that he was a mess. He was, you know, so wrecked by everything that was going on. So he didn't have the money to go, but he trusted. He began to pray. He trusted God. He saved up, and God provided supernaturally for the airfares from Poland to Ecuador. So he got to Ecuador, and I met him there, you know, and I'm thinking, he's a pastor's kid. He's been exposed to the anointing. He knows what he's doing. I'm thinking, I'm mentoring someone who has been to ministry, who has done this before, and little did I know that I was actually mentoring a baby believer. So I invited a baby believer to come to my meeting and lay hands on people. And this was so amazing. This is unbelievable, you know, how God set me up, you know. So I invited someone who had never experienced ministry, like praying for people. And he learned one word in Spanish. He picked it up. He was smart, that guy. He's smart. He picked it up. He picked up one word, fuego, you know, fire. So he began to pray that word over people. Fuego, fuego, fuego. And people, you know, getting knocked out by the power of God. I'm watching him and thinking, wow, God's really using him. Later on, he told me he was a baby believer, a brand new believer. He had walked away from God for a long time. He had never done any kind of ministry. You know that some PKs, they walked away from God and they never return until they have an encounter with God? You know, some pastors' kids, they turn so rebellious and so bitter, they just walk away from God, right? And so he was like that. He was so rebellious. He was a black sheep in the family. And I had no idea what was going on, you know, in his family, in his personal affairs. You know, I never asked him for a letter of recommendation or never asked him to show me his minister credentials. Nothing. I just went by the Holy Spirit's word. The Lord said, invite him. And I'm like, okay, God, you know better. I'm sure you know this boy better than I know him. And God told me to invite him. And I got him to Ecuador. And I had no idea of his past. But God knew his past. And God decided to pour his grace on him. And God began to use him. And he's like, me? Wow, God is using me. He kept making those comments. You know, God is using me just like my dad. God is using me. Because his dad was a Pentecostal preacher. And he was shocked that God was using him. Because he felt so unworthy for years and years watching his dad praying for people. And he always felt like he didn't meet the standards. He always felt rejected. despised and always felt like he didn't belong to church. That's why he walked away. He did a lot of awful things, and he can tell you his testimony. I mean, God really saved him. God really got a hold of his life. And it was the Lord turned him around. He went back to Poland. Oh, to make matters worse, he fell in love with the pastor's daughter. So now I'm on a mission, right? So I'm trying to preach the gospel. I'm trying to save the lost. I'm trying to pray for the sick. And I'm having this prodigy, and he is he's talking to the pastor's daughter, and, they're falling in love, and they're writing, and they're talking, and, she speaks English, a little bit of English, and he speaks some broken English, so they're trying to communicate. It was beautiful. It was amazing to see that happening. And they got each other's numbers, and they began to call each other, and now they're married. They have two kids. And God is using him as a great evangelist. He has actually, this is amazing what I'm about to tell you. He has done some things that no other pastor in Poland has ever done. He has packed stadiums in Poland with thousands of young people, and he has preached to them face to face. He has led thousands of people to the Lord. Come on, come on, come on. You never know who you're going to lead to Christ. You never know who is going to come to Christ through your testimony. You never know if you're sharing the gospel to the next Billy Graham. You never know if you're sharing the gospel to the next mayor or the next governor or the next, you never know. So don't ever miss out on the opportunity of sharing the gospel, because you can save someone from a whole eternity spent in hell. You don't want to have that. And I'm not blaming anyone here. I'm not bringing guilt. I'm just preaching a message of conviction. God wants you to preach the gospel. He wants you to be active. He wants you to be a disciple maker. So how do you become a disciple maker? You spend time with people. You mentor them. You love them. You walk the journey with them. You look after them. You don't just leave them alone. You make sure they are properly connected to a church. Hello? You mentor them. That's what you do. That's what a disciple maker is supposed to do. You mentor them. So I'm going to ask you a question. How many people are you mentoring right now? And if you are not mentoring anyone, then you should ask yourself a question. Why am I not doing it? Why is it that I'm not preaching the gospel, and I'm not mentoring people, and I'm not making disciples? I want to challenge you tonight. You too have the power of God. You too have the anointing. You too have the gifting and the Spirit of God all over you. The Spirit of God is all over you. I can see it. You are filled with the power of God, and you too can mentor and disciple people. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, you too can do it. Come on. You can do it. You too can disciple, and you can become a disciple maker. Jesus said, go and preach the gospel and make disciples, baptizing them. Now, that's another dimension, If someone wants to be water baptized, God can use you. I mean, why do we limit God? Don't limit God. Flow with the Spirit. I'm going to ask you another question. And that question is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you prepared for persecution and hardship? Are you prepared? Are you prepared for persecution? Because it's coming. The world is mocking us. The world is mocking those that have faith and those that believe in God. Those that believe otherwise. They believe other things. The world is mocking us right now. People don't understand why we believe the things that we believe in. We believe in the word of faith. We believe in the gospel. The world, it's mocking us, but the media is also mocking us and mocking a lot of pastors and believers that believe that this pandemic, they're using this pandemic as a way to really start a wave of persecution, to begin a movement. And this movement is going to basically, they're going to turn family members against each other. I want you to see the big picture here. They're going to turn your family against you. And it's already happening in some places. People are calling me. I have a friend of mine in Iowa City, and he called me the other day, and he's like, "What do I do, Pastor? My friend who actually is providing employment for me, he was screaming the F word, and he said that if I don't get vaccinated, I'm not welcome to work in his house." I'm like, get ready for persecution. If you believe in this, now I'm not talking. Let's put the vaccine aside. Let's talk about some other things. Let's talk about what if the vaccine leads to having a passport, you know, an ID, not your traditional passport, but a digital passport. What if this leads to another thing, like what if the mark of the beast? And I know you have your theology. Well, no, because Jesus is going to come back before the mark of the beast. But what if Jesus tarries? Hello? What if we are here? What if all these signs are happening and being fulfilled while we're here? I believe in Jesus' return. I believe that he will come back. But I'm going to ask you a hypothetical question. And the reason I'm saying hypothetical is because it could happen, it couldn't happen, you know, just saying it. What if we are alive and we're still here and the mark of the beast is rolled out and is linked to the vaccination or to, you know, a global ID program? Are you going to accept it? Are you going to accept it? And see, I was talking to someone the other day. It's like, well, the mark of the beast is going to be like a pledge of allegiance. Like, it's going to be so clear that I'm actually selling my soul to the enemy. Like, I'm really, like, I'm pledging allegiance to Satan. I'm like, no, Satan is not that dumb. Hello? Satan is very, very clever, and he's going to package it, and he's going to put it in a way that is going to be so difficult for you unless you have the Spirit of God, unless you have discernment, unless you know your Bible, unless you know the Scriptures, and unless you read the book of Revelation, and you know the Bible back to back. He's going to make it so difficult for the average believer to discern whether this is the mark or not. That's why there's so much confusion right now. Hello? So we need to know the Word of God. We need to be prepared for persecution and hardship. But guess what? God's going to provide. He's going to take care of us. How many of you believe that God will take care of you? You believe that? So don't be afraid, because we are going to be part of the end times harvest and the end times revival. And I can't wait to see these things happening. I'm going to ask you another question. Are you growing daily in your relationship with God? Is your relationship with God becoming more solid? Is it becoming more intimate? Are you praying more? Are you fasting more? Are you spending more time with God? Are you really, really getting to know the presence of God? Because the heart of every believer should be spending time in His presence. You know? I want the anointing. I want the anointing because I know the anointing is going to help me fulfill the Great Commission. If I have the anointing, I can go out to the streets and I can pray and I can reach the lost and I can evangelize and I can talk to people and I know what they're going through because the Lord has given me giftings that will enable me to get the job done. It will enable me to see in the Spirit, and I can read people in the Spirit through the gift of discernment, the gift of prophecy. People will look at me and say, "Dude, what's wrong with you? Like, do you know this stuff?" I'm like, "No, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what they're going through." Hello? I've had people, when I'm prophesying over unbelievers, it's fun. I love it. Because you get different reactions. You know, when you prophesy over believers, it's good. It's wonderful. It's powerful. And you know, you get some reactions and people respond in different ways. You know, some people cry, some people laugh, some people like, wow, this is awesome. You know, you get different responses. But when you're prophesying over an unbeliever who has never been exposed to the prophetic ministry, they just open their eyes wide open. Like, they look at you like, how in the world did you know that? You know? Dude, who told you that? You know, I've had those responses. Like, they don't call me pastor. They don't call me, you know, minister. They're gonna address you. They're gonna talk to you at their level, and they're gonna say, "Who told you that? Who gave you that information?" And that's when you have the great opportunity to say, you know, that the Holy Spirit can speak to people. You know, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, and I am listening, and I'm sensing that this is what you're going through. You know, this is what you're going through. I love leading people to Christ in different places. No matter where I go, I can lead people to Christ at the gas station. I can lead them anywhere I am because I carry Christ and I carry the power of the Holy Spirit. Say with me, I can lead people to Christ anywhere I go. You believe that? You don't need music in the background. Hello? You don't need a fancy method. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe you can use some applications. You can use some, you know, like new techniques. Like we learn about, you know, how to lead someone to Christ in 1 minute. And wasn't that powerful? What we learned last Saturday, that was good. I love that method. But we don't need to rely on one method. We don't need to rely on the wristband. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit will lead us to, hey, use the wristband, or use this app, or use this, or do this, or open your Bible. The Holy Spirit is going to show you how to get it done. But don't rely on one method. Rely on the Holy Spirit. If you want to be effective and if you want to maximize your witness, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit. If you're not led by the Holy Spirit, then it's going to be difficult. You're going to face some demonic forces. Like, you know, Tanya, she had to deal with some, what do you call them, Mormons? Yeah, Latter-day Saints, you know. They believe that they can only hear from God through Smith, Joseph Smith, I believe. That's their prophet, right? So they don't hear from God. They don't have a relationship with God directly. Their prophet is in charge. Like, their prophet, he knows everything, right? And you know what the Bible says about that. And so they have believed lies for many decades, centuries. And so when you're leading someone to Christ, like a Jehovah Witness, like a Mormon, you gotta be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you got to have the Word of God. And you got to know what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing so that you don't, you know, I mean, obviously we're all going to make mistakes, but you can avoid some situations by being led by the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to be led by the Holy Spirit? So are you growing in your relationship with God? How can I grow my relationship with God? Well, through prayer, fasting, spending more time with God, listening to God, watching less TV and watching more, you know, spending less time watching secular TV and watching more Christian TV, you know, like God TV and those sources. Amen. That's what I've been doing. Every night I watch God TV and I put on the worship channel and I begin to listen to the worship and I let the presence of God saturate the living room. I love it. When the kids go to bed and we just sit there after watching a movie, we go to God TV and we watch. And you got to be careful with the stuff you're watching too. You got to be discerning. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Number eight, are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? In the end times, you're going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit and be open to the Holy Spirit to reroute your plans. Amen. Walking in the Spirit is fun because you can see things in the Spirit And the Lord will warn you, and the Lord will actually protect you, and He will send you warnings. It's like having a radar. When you are walking in the Spirit, your radar will go off every time the Holy Spirit is trying to get your attention. Every time you're receiving a message, the radar will go off. And you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. You got to listen to the voice of the Spirit. If you don't, then you're just going to hit a wall, and the enemy is going to take advantage of those situations, and you're going to waste more time. God wants you to seize every opportunity, take advantage of every opportunity, and be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So what is walking in the Spirit? Can you give me some examples? What is walking in the Spirit? And I'm going to ask this question to all of you. What is walking in the Spirit? I'm going to open it up. You tell me what walking in the Spirit means in your life. Doing what the Word of God says. Obedience. Prayer. Surrender. Believing. Fasting. Worship. Repenting. What was that? Come on! I was expecting to hear that from you. Turning around and going to talk to someone. Being led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God's going to say, hey, you turn around, stop the car, pull over. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit because all these decisions are critical. You never know. You may be reaching out to someone who's about to commit suicide. You may be, you are probably about to rescue someone. You're about to save someone's life. And if you know that, if you can see that someone is about to jump off a bridge, would you help that person? Would you help someone that is about to commit suicide? But how would you know unless you have the Holy Spirit? How would you know unless you have the leading of the Spirit? How would you know that someone has so much pain and hatred and anger? You know, people, that's why society, they don't understand why people just, they go out of their houses and they have a loaded gun and they go to a school and bang, 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 they kill people and they kill themselves. How do you know that someone's about to commit an atrocity like that? How do you know that someone is about to go and kill somebody else unless you have the Holy Spirit? Unless you are led by the Holy Spirit. How do you know that someone is about to do something tragic? How do you know? You've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? God can use you in mighty ways. He can use you in mighty ways. And if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to see breakthroughs. Say with me, I'm going to see breakthroughs. Are you ready to see some breakthroughs? Are you ready to see some miracles, some creative miracles? If you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to see creative miracles. You're going to see people being healed. You just got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And the other question I'm going to ask you is, having done everything, are you standing firm? Are you standing firm? Are you faithful? Are you standing firm now? Do you have firm convictions? Do you have strong convictions? Or are your convictions kind of wavery? Are your convictions kind of, swaying from place to place because, the public opinion tends to change people's mindset? Is your conviction so strong? Is your conviction rooted in the Word of God? Is your conviction rooted in the knowledge of the Spirit? Is your conviction rooted in that place of knowing who God is and who you are in Christ? So I just want you to think about those things. And I want you to examine your heart. And as you go out and you witness over the next few weeks, number one, be led by the Holy Spirit. Practice everything that you've learned this weekend. Remember, God can use you and He will use those divine opportunities, those divine appointments. I remember one time I was leading someone to Christ. This happened in Europe. And this lady was listening. She was overhearing the conversation. We were talking about the end times. And it was
a bunch of pastors gathering, and we were talking about the end times, and she listened to the conversation. And when we were on our way out paying for our stuff, she stopped us, and she had tears streaming down her face. She was touched by the Holy Spirit, and she said, "I want to know Jesus." Just like that. I mean, the Holy Spirit can touch someone. And we were just at a coffee shop, and you know, we didn't mean to lead her to Christ, but our conversation, we were so loud that our conversation, you know, was overheard in the restaurant, and she wanted to know Christ. Sometimes you got to have a megaphone in you and preach the gospel to someone next to you and to the whole restaurant. You're like, no, that's kind of prideful. No, but allow the Holy Spirit to use you. Amen? Exactly. I wasn't seeking attention. I was being led by the Holy Spirit. We were talking about the end times. This is somewhere in Europe, and I am talking to, you know, these pastors. We were talking about the signs of the times. I remember it happened to me in Spain. Remember that time when we were talking about the blood moons? Everybody was talking about the blood moons. Remember that time back in 2008 or around that time? And there was a Muslim guy, who was so intrigued about the blood moons. And we began this conversation. And I ended up witnessing to him. I ended up preaching the gospel to him. I said, you know, this is all recorded in the book of Revelation. If you read the Bible, you probably don't know it, because in your Bible, in the Quran, they don't talk about these things. But if you read the Bible, you will actually see some scriptures that confirm some of the world events that we're seeing right now. He's like, really? I want to know more about the Bible. Somebody gave me a Bible a long time ago. I'm going to go back and read it. See, people are ready to listen. You just got to be led by the Holy Spirit. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit, because you never know when God is going to set you up. I love when God sets me up. Don't you love when God sets you up? When God gives you the opportunity so that you have a divine appointment. So this is my prayer, and I want you to utilize this as a way of asking the Lord to set you up every morning. When you wake up, say, God, I want some divine appointments. God, show me a way. Set me up. I want some divine appointments. I want to meet some people. Help me become a witness. And help me become the church of the Acts. I want to go out, and I don't just want to preach the gospel, but I want to demonstrate the gospel with signs and wonders. I want to lay hands on the sick, and I want to do the same things you did and even greater, because that's what the Word of God says, that I can do greater things. Come on, somebody. That I can lay hands on the sick, that I can receive words of knowledge, that I can be led by the Spirit, that I can prophesy, that I can release the Word of God. Are you enjoying this? I'm enjoying it. When you release the Word of God upon an unbeliever, when you release it, something will happen. So Father, let us become witnesses. Let us become witnesses. We are your army. You are calling an army of saints that will relentlessly share the gospel. And they will not relinquish their passion and their calling. And they will go to the most, to the four corners of the world. They will go to places that they've never been. They will reach the lost. Oh Lord, I pray that everyone here will understand and will receive the full picture. That this is about the Great Commission. This is about reaching the lost and making disciples. Help us, God. Help us, God, to become disciple makers. Come on, begin to pray in the Spirit. Help us, God. Help Help us, God. We need you, God. Give us your passion. Give us the fire. Give us the dreams. Give us the desire. Give us the same passion, God. Oh, we love you. We worship you. And I'm going to pray now for the same fire that fell upon the disciples, the same fire that fell upon those that went to the upper room and they were baptized with fire, and they went out of the upper room and they preached the gospel, and 3,000 people came to Jesus. And then the second time when they preached the gospel, 5,000 people came to Jesus. I'm going to pray that that same fire and that same passion will fall on you. When you are sharing your story, when you are sharing your testimony, when you're sharing what God has done in your life, I pray that your story will be sufficient enough to open those doors, to break those chains. You know, some people say, well, how do I preach the gospel? Share your story. How do I preach the gospel? Share what God has done. Share some of the highlights, some of the miracles you have seen recently. Share those stories. You know, when people ask me, how are you doing? I tell them, I'm blessed. You know, and I seize those opportunities. When people ask me, so how are you feeling today? I say, I'm feeling great. And why are you feeling great? Because I have Jesus. And that's going to be an open door to share the gospel. And what do you love doing? Oh, I love preaching about Jesus. I love sharing faith. And I love sharing hope. That's a good thing. People want to hear the gospel. You are a carrier of the gospel. So, Father, give us that boldness to stand before our enemies and even see miracles while we are praying. And I'm going to ask you guys to play some worship music. And we're going to stand in the gap. And we're going to believe God for a harvest. We're going to believe God for a harvest. And I'm going to ask you to please stand up. You're like, well, that was awesome. That was good. Are you growing daily in your relationship with God? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you standing firm? Are you faithful to the calling? Are you being faithful to the calling? Are you staying true to your calling? Are you staying true to your convictions? Or are you wavering? Are you having double thoughts, second thoughts? If that's you, I want you to pray in the Spirit and ask the Lord, Lord, I want to live a life committed to you. Come on. I want to live a life committed to you. I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to have one foot in the church and one foot, you know, in the world. I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to feel like I'm half committed. I want to be sold out. I want to be passionate. I want my heart to feel the same burden, the same passion, and the same desires, and the same dreams, and the same things. I want to. There's a song, and I love this song. I want my heart break for what breaks yours. You remember that song? I want my heart to feel the same things. Every time I'm looking at someone who needs Jesus, I want to preach the gospel like this is going to be their last day. I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste an opportunity. I want to preach the gospel like I'm going to lead that person to Christ on that very day. And like that's the last opportunity to hear the gospel. That's how I want to preach to them. Like that's the last day. Like that's the last opportunity they have. So I want to give it my best. I want to give it my best. I don't want to do it halfway. I don't want to do it just. I want to be intentional. You get that? I want to be intentional. So why don't we just pray in the Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you're touching your people now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.